Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it was August, and it was hot, and it was humid. And Bob Perks was walking door to door in a t-shirt and a tie, asking questions as a representative of the federal government. He definitely didn't like his job, but he knew it could be much worse, so door to door on that hot, humid August day, he went. It'd go like this, knock, knock. Hello, my name is Bob Perks, and we are doing a survey in this neighborhood. I'm not interested. Goodbye. Slam, click. It's hard to imagine how many times a day he heard that slam, click. He finally caught on and began with, "Before you slam the door, I'm not selling anything, and I just need to ask you a few questions about yourself and your community." Well, today, the woman on the other side of the threshold paused for a moment, raised her eyebrows, and shrugged her shoulders, confused by the interruption to her day. "Well, sure, come on in, but don't mind the mess. It's hard keeping up with all my kids." It was an older home in a section of the valley where people with lower incomes could afford shelter over their head. With the little that this couple had, the home looked comfortable and welcoming. "Now, I just need to ask you a few questions about yourself and your family. Although this might sound personal, I won't use any of your names. This information will be used..." And the woman interrupted him. "Would you like a glass of water? You seem like you've had a rough day." "Why, yes," Bob replied thankfully. Just as she returned with the water, a man walked through the door, obviously her husband. "Joe, this man is here to do a survey." Bob stood and politely introduced himself. Joe was tall and lean, but his face was rough and aged-looking, even though Bob figured he was probably somewhere in his 20s. His hands were like leather, the kind you get from working hard, not pushing pencils or working a computer. She leaned towards him and kissed him gently on the cheek. As they looked at each other, you could see the love that held them together. She smiled and tilted her head on his shoulder, and he touched her face with his hand and said, "I love you." They may not have had much material wealth, but they were richer than most people Bob knew. They had a powerful love, the kind of love that holds your head up when things get tough in this world. "Joe works for the borough," she said. "What do you do?" Bob asked. She jumped right in, not letting him answer. "Joe collects garbage, and I'm so proud of him." "Honey, I'm sure this man doesn't want to hear this," said Joe. "No. Really, I do," replied Bob. "You see, Joe is the best garbage man in all the borough. He can stack more garbage in a truck than anyone else. He gets so much in one truck that they don't have to make as many runs," she said with much passion. "In the long run," Joe continued, "I save the borough money. Man hours are down, and the cost per truck is less." There was silence. Bob didn't exactly know how to respond. He shook his head, searching for just the right words. "That's incredible. Most people would gripe about a job like that. It certainly is a difficult one, but your attitude about it is amazing," Bob said. She walked over to the shelf next to the couch, and as she turned around, she held in her hand a small framed paper. "When we had our third child, Joe lost his job. We were on unemployment and eventually on welfare. He couldn't find work anywhere. Then one day he was sent to an interview here in this community. They offered him the job he holds now. He came home so depressed and ashamed, telling me it was the best he could do. It actually paid less than we got on welfare. She paused and walked towards Joe. He said, or she said, "I've always been proud of him and always will be. You see, I don't think the job makes the man. The man makes the job." Joe said, "We need to live in the borough in order to have that job. So we rented this house." When we moved in, she said, this quote was hanging on the wall just inside the front door. It made all the difference to us, Bob. I knew that Joe was doing the right thing, she said as she handed Bob the frame. It said, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep the street even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all of the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Quote Martin Luther King, Jr. I love him for who he is, but what he does the best. I love my garbage man. Oh, to be somebody with an attitude like Joe and his wife. Oh, to be somebody who takes the hand that they're dealt and doesn't look at the disappointment in it, doesn't look what's missing, doesn't see what it could have been, but sees how they could make the most of it. Oftentimes, we're like I said with the kids, where we're looking at the center of the donut, looking at what we don't have, looking at what it seems that we lack, looking at what we wish for instead of what's there. In the Bible, we see it over and over again. Moses' immediate response was, I don't have eloquent speaking abilities. Abraham and Sarah laughed at God, we're too old for children. Mary looked at God and laughed, I'm too young for children. Peter said, I denied Christ not once, not twice, but three times. And Paul shamefully saw that he had been one sending faithful Christians to their death. We oftentimes can look in the mirror and see that we don't make as much money as we would like, or we're not as beautiful as we would like, or not as accomplished as we would like. Maybe we wish where we lived was better. Maybe it was just wishing life was different. But this is what happens when we look at the hole in the center of the donut. But what we fail to see is often that hole within us, that piece that seems to be missing, is not donut-shaped, but it's God-shaped. That what we seem to be missing, what we feel like we lack, is actually room for God to be doing his job. You see, we saw with Moses that he was able to free his people and bring them towards home. We see with Abraham and Sarah that they were able to be the mother and father of all nations. Mary was able to be the mother of our Savior. Peter was able to be the rock that the church was built upon. And Paul was able to be the first preacher to go out to all the nations. What happens here is they found God in that hole. But again, the trouble comes in with our human perspective. What we often expect is perfection. If it's not perfection, then we haven't done our best, right? If I missed questions on the test, if I didn't get the promotion, if I didn't win the bid, if I didn't win the girl, it isn't perfect. There's something else I could have done. But if you look at the Greek in the Bible, you see that the word for perfect is teleos. And teleos is translated perfect, but it's also complete, fully grown, complete in Christian character. We go through the Bible and we can see that perfect is related to the will of God, that perfect is acceptable and pleasing to God, that perfect each and every time is not in our human abilities or capabilities, but perfect is related to and rooted in God. We are not perfect. We in our human capacity are not capable of perfection. So we need to stop striving for it and being disappointed. What we need to start doing is seeing the opportunity of where God can be interacting in our lives and shining through us. In our scripture this morning, in the letter to the Philippians, Paul is encouraging them on, encouraging them to be like Christ, who in very nature was God, but humbled himself into human form, feeling the pains of this world. Why? So that as he emptied himself to those around him, that he could die on a cross for us. He humbled himself and emptied himself so that God could fill him and glorify him for us. This week is the opportunity for us to be humbled by God. To realize it's not about what we're capable of or what we're doing or what we're not doing, but to be grateful and thankful for all that God is capable of, all of the ways that God can fill the gaps, all of the ways that God took care of us in what Christ did on this earth. And to not beat ourselves up when we don't reach the human standards of perfection, but to give God thanks for all we are able to do. To go back to Joe and realize he does a job not many would wish to do, but he did it to the best of his ability, with his head held high because of the matter of perspective and attitude that he took. How is it that no matter what we do it in such a way that our shoulders are up and our head is held high because we knew we did it to the best of our abilities, that we did it for the glory of God, and that God was with us all the way? Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you designed us much like a donut, with a hole right at the center of who we are, but that you shaped that hole to be the image of you, and that you filled that hole with your presence, that you filled that hole with your Holy Spirit. And in that space is not what we lack, but in that space is the best part of who we are. May you help us to tap into that space, to tap into your Holy Spirit, to empower us in all that we do, so that all that we do can be done with joy, that all that we can do can be done with love, and that all we can do can be done in your name and to your glory. So at the end of the day, we can say that we are like Mozart and Beethoven and Michelangelo and Shakespeare, that we can sign our name on it, proud of what we have done, but that we know you can sign your name on it saying, I was right there all along the way. For God, we give you thanks for all that you are in us and all that you do through us. So we give you our most humble praise and thanks. Amen.